One of our ancient biblical commentaries says that a woman cries 100 cries at a time when she gives birth, 99 of death. The shofar is this birth and of death. It is the sound of pain and the cry for life to tell the truth. It's a blast so loud that we want to run. And yet it speaks directly to the still small voice within us. Tonight on this Kol Nidre evening, we'll take a look back into the Haftorah of Rosh Hashanah and bring Chana to bear. Chana is a shofar. Her prayerful devotion and her determination, I believe, are who and what we need on this Kol Nidre night. As we might remember, Chana, like many of our matriarchs, is ironically longing for a child. It doesn't just happen. She prays to God to be visited, to be seen by God. And right here, I want to pause and say about this idea of longing for birth or a child, that in many ways, so many folks check out and write God off because they're not interested in the word God. So I'd like us all actually to look newly at this word birth. While biologically it can have, of course, gendered and binary associations, yet this season is about new beginnings. What could it mean to give birth? I invite us to listen to this metaphor from the gray, to be hungry for what we can learn from the gray rather than the black or white, the for me or against me. We have a new beginning that we are called to create. And I believe that we have to give birth to a new hope, a new possibility, a new version of reality with ourselves as the authors of it. So I ask us to consider, how might we be courageous like Chana? All of Elul we asked ourselves and each other. Verse 4 of Psalm 27. Achat sha'alti me'et Adonai ota avakesh. One thing I ask from God. Just one thing I ask from God. So what is this one thing that you're asking for from God? What do you want out of this year? One circle around the sun. What could you bring to birth, bring to bear in this new year? What would be worthy of 365 days of your life? Shivti bevet Adonai kol yemei chayai, that I may dwell in your house all of my days. And yet, as my teacher, Dr. Judith Cates, notes, we are not all safe. We are not all protected. Watching the world turn as it is this time of year, we are living in politically incendiary times. People are afraid to come out at work, to struggle and have the protection that they need to gain access to abortion. Our issues and legal rights related to gun laws, DACA being called up. We have so many people among us who do not feel safe, who do not feel protected. Hannah was one of those people. She suffered wounding and mockery and torments. She endured provocations in silent dignity. We have all experienced feeling mocked, and we have all been the mockers. No one has a monopoly of suffering. No community, no person, no people. Hannah reveals her inner suffering and her longing for a child through tears and what the biblical scholar Nechama Ashkenazi calls her quiet desperation. She seems to have turned completely inward. We have all experienced this sense of quiet desperation, of not being heard, of not being seen, of being put in a box as other, not one of us, clueless, too gay, too straight, too complicated, too sick, too old, too young, too far gone. And we isolate ourselves and we isolate each other. But then, as Dr. Cates points out in an extraordinary narrative turn, Hannah finds her voice. As she summons the courage to address herself directly to God, alone on the threshold of the Lord's temple, without the permission or help of husband or priest, she simply comes as herself. No family genealogy is recounted, no social role other than as a man's wife, no history of actions or accomplishments. She feels herself adequate. And as the late philosopher Rabbi David Hartman of her prayer, of all of our matriarchs, patriarchs, Hannah is said to be the... I first learned of her from the first woman rabbi I ever knew, Rabbi Noah Kushner, at Brandeis Bardeen Institute in the Simi Valley. Those of you who are age 26, 18 to 26, you should check out BCI to have it catapult your Jewish trajectory. Audre Lorde, as many of us know, was born in 1934 in New York City to Caribbean immigrants, known as an American writer, feminist, womanist, librarian, rights activist, and poet. Her famous essay, Sister Outsider, remains critical to my own understanding of my rabbinate and my voice. In it, Lorde says, those of us who stand outside the circles of this society's definition of acceptable, she says acceptable women, but acceptables, for instance, those who think of us, is not the only source of support. As Hannah teaches us and models, she believes her own truth. She expresses that truth straight to source, straight to her maker, straight to her master, her higher, lower, and innermost heartbeat, God. Hannah and Lorde model for us this deep listening and brave sharing. In her essay, The Transformation of Silence into Action, she reminds us that our silence won't save us. She says, in forcibly and essentially aware, become it for my life, however short it might be, priorities and omissions became strongly etched in merciless light. And what I most regretted were my silences. Of what had I ever been afraid? To question or to speak, as I believed, could have meant pain or death. She says, but we all hurt in so many different ways all the time. The pain will either change or end. Death, on the other hand, is the final silence. This room, this very special BCC community, is full of powerful history, brave creativity and persistent devotion. And there is journey ahead, and it will take all of us with concern and care for each other. As Lord teaches, the need and desire to nurture each other is not pathological, but redemptive. The need and desire, the two-way street, the need and desire to nurture each other is not pathological, but redemptive. And it is within that knowledge that real power is discovered. Interdependency is the way to a freedom which allows the I to be, in order not to be used, but in order to be creative. Our support for each other creates a way to freedom, not to be used, placeholders, doers, but to be creative. My teacher, Rabbi Sharon Cohen Anisfeld, points out that the ram's horn is silent at first. It's the ram caught in the thicket. We don't even see it. And then, at the last moment, Avraham lifts his head, and it appears out of nowhere, when it's almost too late. Often there's a different path, and we don't look for it. We're not hungry for it. So we see what we know rather than what we're curious for. Rabbi Cohen Anisfeld points out, it's not just our stubbornness that blinds us. Sometimes it's our commanding voice of faith. Sometimes it's the commanding voice of despair. And sometimes it's the thicket itself, the thorny, tangled overgrowth of our life. It's not just that we're blind, we're just busy, schlepping the wood, tending the fire, building the altar, trying to quiet the children, trying to answer their questions, even though God knows we can't answer our own. So she challenges us, and I challenge us, to think about the thicket of our lives. What possibilities haven't we seen? What story have we been telling ourselves that we already know? What alternatives have we not noticed? We are all on this path together. And there are altars at the end of the road. This Kol Nidre, we come together to gather courage, collective courage, to gather ourselves as one voice, blasted through the night, blasted through our guts, blasted through our doubts and our fears. We learn from Lord, the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. So instead, we reach down into the deep place of knowledge within us. The terror and the loathing, says Lord, that the person and the political are all connected. We gather and we see ourselves in our most angelic and also as nearly dead. The ram is our wake-up call. It's the cold water dumped on our heads, our feet held to the fire. The diagnosis is in, the time is up. We hear the blast and we are brought back, sober, cold, to listen again to that bent horn of the ram through which the human breath becomes a blast.